Return of the Goram Worm. Written and read by Fresney. Fandoms, pretty much every Cinderella story ever. And Firefly. Relationships, Abdullah bin Fazil and Zi Xiang. Written for Yuletide 2011 for Coffee Pot and the Mrs. Claus Challenge 2011. Summary. Flying as they was to the black, Zi Xiang had to decide just how she wanted to deal with the crap in her life. And there was a rotten lot of crap. Rawardopsis wasn't much of a fairy godmother, but she was a goram good engineer. Which is to say, Cinderella is a pretty common story, but she'd have been better off selling foot porn, what with those tiny feet of hers. Zi Xiang dealt with crap all the livelong cycle. Literally, she dealt with crap. Not lion's ship crap. When Xiang was little, her gran had always boomed loud, there's just too goram much of it. But the small ships, yeah, she dealt with those, just as her ma and her gran had done in their time. The aerial'd fly, ship to ship in the fleet, raggle-taggle bunch of ships as it was, collecting waste to feed to the worms, which made dirt just to be bartered for what was as needed. Always something needed. The aerial'd fly, ship to ship in the fleet, raggle-taggle bunch of ships as it was, collecting waste to feed to the worms, which has made dirt as to be bartered for what was as needed. Always something needed. As her gran had always said, three things in life you can be sure of. Death, taxes, and crap happens. She knew. She'd been there when the big crap had happened. On the last day in the verse that was, gran had been in her garden when the reavers hit Atmo over Persephone and set the sky on fire all to Hades. Gran liked to talk like that. Sky's on fire. While Ma had been quick to explain that the sky hadn't actually caught on fire, followed by an explanation of the physics involved, which, as Xian had been six at the time, had gone a mite over her head. Gran had ended up on one of the ships escaping the screaming world. That was Gran again with the metaphors. With just the clothes on her back, a hand trowel, Ma on her belly, and a box full of compost worms. Essenia fotida, because Ma thought it was important that Xiang knew that sort of thing. But that was then, and this was sewage streaming out of the back of the Bernadette to freeze in the black. Xiang tapped at the controls on her skeeto pack for some forward thrust, and got in back of the catch bag. Once she squeezed it off, the frozen lump tumbled in the vacuum. She pushed and she prodded. She sweated a bucket inside her vac suit. She sweated and she pushed at the big, rough, tumbling thing until she lined up with Ariel's airlock. She waited for Jun Li to give her the go-ahead, but got a whole lot of nothing. Finally, Rhodopsis came on and gave her the approval. Xiang pushed inside and hit the controls. The comm crackled from the bridge, because now that she was in, Jun Li had to pipe up. "Ma's gonna be pissed! The fleet's pulled ahead while you floated around out there. Better finish storing it before she finds out you're not done." The comm went silent. It wasn't like Jun Li had to haul the crap around. It'd been different when Ma and Pa and Gran had been alive, when Xiang's Pa had been captain. But they'd all long since gone to the worms, and Jin, Jun Li's Ma, was captain now. Rhodopsis glared at the comm box. "Ain't right." The words just plain echoed around the crapper hold. Xiang shrugged out of her suit and got the ice clamps. Rhodopsis sighed. Between them, they hauled the lumpy thing across the deck and into the melter bin, which was nice of her. Rhodopsis could have stayed in the engine room, but she was always the one to help out. When they were done, Xiang sank to the floor and sat with her back up against the bin, rested her head on her knees. "Ain't right." Rhodopsis started up again. Maybe if Xiang ignored Rhodopsis, she'd stop at "ain't right" this time. Xiang wrapped her arms around her knees and said a real articulate, "Hmm." Put a lot of grease in that "hmm," she did. She was too goram tired to give a fair pico. Baboon's ass crack, for the right and the ain't right of it. "I said, it ain't right." Of course, that was when Rhodopsis poked her in the ribs with the butt of a Phillips from her tool belt. "Why do you put up with the way Jun Li and Jin treat you?" "I gotta, as long as Jin's got hold of my indenture. for my engineer schooling, but the moment they come due, I'm sliding. Rhodopsis made a gesture with her hands to indicate just how slick that slide would be. But they order you around like you're a yidatoire de bain. A big pile of shit. Seven hells. All the barters she's got come off your back. You've got as much right to this ship as she does. Who's your paw just as much as Jun Lee's? Xiao sighed. It's not like I know how to pilot the ship. That's just because after your ma and pa died, she traded all the barts for learning so that Tian Di Wu Yong, completely useless daughter of hers, could call herself a pilot. And where'd that leave you? Xiao muttered in no particular direction. Rhodopsis. Jun Li is my sister. Rhodopsis thumped the bin with her palm in a boom of sound. Half-sister? Serious-like. I got no idea how your pa kept his dick after screwing Jin. On that image, Xian dropped her head back to her knees. Jin's voice cracked on over the speakers. Xian, where are you? You yi zui ba da buan chou ho? Big stupid pile of stinking meat? Xian made her legs get up along with the rest of her. She tapped the comm dangling off the wall. I'm in the crapper hold. Well, why aren't you on the bridge? Jin's voice crackled, three separate kinds of venom. Jun Li's made a course change, and we're plumb 3 secs away from where we should be. Why weren't you up here, making sure she didn't run us out past fleet range? Xian could have had a lot of responses to that. She breathed in and asked her ma to give her the strength to remember that Jin was a good person, really. That folk was just folk. That she acted this way because she had a whole bin full of bugs in her bonnet over ma and pa and herself. Dion said, "You want me up there?" "I want you back in time, doing your job." Jin's voice was steel, like a rusty coiled bit of metal that you stepped on with steel. "But I can't have that. Instead, I have to tell you how to wipe yourself." She breathed in, which was never a good sign. "I took care of it. Anyway, you were supposed to go over to the Tohan and get our barter for the 7th cycle. I give you my list over breakfast." Xiang did not ask how she was supposed to have been over to the Tohan and simultaneously perching on deck looking over Jun Li's shoulder and getting a load from the Bernadette. Those kind of questions never went well. She peeled back her work gloves and checked her chrono. Apex already gone by on its rounds. Then you'll have to take the mosquito. The comm clicked off, and Xiang resisted the urge to hit her head against the bin. All it would do was hurt her head. Bugs in the bonnet. Folk was folk. Said 30 times quick in her head. Rhodopsis broke her out of it when she grabbed Xiang's wrist. You can't seriously be planning on going. Mosquito's just for short go-rounds, not crossing the whole damn fleet. I should know. I do the maintenance on the thing. Made some good improves, but not much improves. Xiang shrugged. She reflected that she shrugged a goram lot. Now, there maybe is the impression that Rhodopsis shut up after that, but no. She talked about how if it was her, she wouldn't do it, and if it was her, she'd tell Jin where she should take herself, being straight to all 7 hells to have sex with the 1,000 demons as lived there. Since Rhodopsis never said much more than yes ma'am or no ma'am to Jin, this was complete and utter da bien hua crap talk. And Xian knew her crap, but it was nice to hear out loud. Even if neither of them would say it, because folks was folk, she let the words carry her as she suited her back up. She thought of the way that a trip to the Tohan could be nice. Of course, that was when Rhodopsis did a quick course change and pinched Xian on the arm. "You sly dog!" She chuckled in a low, dirty sound. "You gonna go see your boy?" Xiang hunched her shoulders, purely to put on the suit. "He's not my boy." Rhodopsis laughed some more and said sing-song, "But you want him to be." She poked Xiang until she pushed her away, which got another round of laughter. "Fine, fine, be like that. Well, if you ain't gonna go wooing, then I'll give you a few streams to barter. Then, at least, there'll be some sort of pornin' going on." Xian asked a pretty redundant, "More feet?" Rhodopsis pushed her thumbs into the wide strap of her tool belt. Yeah, got some streams of some real good ones with the red ribbon I picked up. Rhodopsis had small feet. No, she had cute, perfect, tiny toad feet. Oddly enough, in a life where there was so little, there were people that would trade good barts for streams of Rhodopsis feet and her walking around various places on those feet. Rhodopsis laughed like she was always laughing. These are real good. Help pay off my indenture good. Xian shook her head and checked whether Tohan was in relation to the arrow, or Rhodopsis got a memory stick. Together, they filled the dirt panniers and heaved them back into the airlock. Now, as Rhodopsis assured her, if Xian had the slightest sense of self-preservation, she'd have felt afraid as she stepped out from the aerial and watched it fly away from her. But no one ever called Xian smart, at least not since Ma and Pa died. It was sort of peaceful-like, the lights of the slow-moving fleet all around them as they made their way through the black. All that was left of the verse that was, heading to the verse that would be. Reavers behind, unterraformed systems ahead. Or, so the talking science head said. But for now, it was moving lights in the black. Drifting in space while she got left behind weren't no time to get philosophical-like. She tapped the Skeeto and wove her way forward to the lights of the fleet. Soon enough, she was up under the long bridge of the Tohan. She paid 3 barts off her credit for a mule to cart her panniers, which was a bargain. In her experience, gravity wasn't always a friend, and her feet were already dragging. She made for the free market area on the plaza deck, spent a piece or two explaining to would-be buyers that their offer prices weren't worth the smear on the bottom of her feet, and everyone had a good time. As she sorted out the dirt for her barters, she found a bright yellow worm cocoon in her dirt. It was dead now, what with the trip to the black, but still bright and shiny. She slipped it in her pocket, went through the fiesta and promenade decks, bartering for the stuff on Jin's list, made a trade on the Aloha deck for Rhodopsis' foot porn, and built up Rhodopsis' credit. When Xian was done, she thought that she should get back to the aerial. She could already hear Jin telling her all the ways she'd screwed up, how she could have done all of it. Of course, whether she went back now, or in a bit, Jin was sure to have a list of Xian's faults. May as well take a side trip. She found her feet going up 3 decks to the Arabian deck, where the odd bits dealers were. She stopped at the Fazil Brothers suite in 169. She slipped in past a group of asteroid wranglers with their clean-shaved heads and spot burns around their eyes. She walked like she wasn't looking for anything. Abdullah was in the back of the stall, whispering love poetry to a shiny metal something. She said, "Hey." He dropped the part in a dull thud onto the worn carpet. "Oh, Xian, it's, hey." His face was down, but his lips was curved up. She adjusted the strap on her pack. "Sorry to startle you." He whispered, "Oh, I like being startled by a song whose words you thought you'd forgotten." He looked at the ground. "Good to see you. It's been too long. I was going to send you a wave. It was just... So there's this... next week. The old fleet fair. I was wondering if you would... Maybe. But of course you wouldn't. But maybe." He took a deep breath while Xian held hers. "Abdullah, are you working on the parts out here again?" Tall Salim bustled past a crowded shelf full of shiny metal. "Now what have we told you about that?" His twin brother Short Salim said, "We've told you that talking to people is just not in your wheelhouse." "Nope." Tall Salim tapped Abdullah between his eyes. "That wheel, it don't even know where your housing is, which is on the balcony, not bothering customers." Short Salim looked at Xian, though that look was chest-centric, not on her face at all. "Such a lovely customer at that," he grinned. "Now get." Abdullah stood up in a slump. As he went round Tall Salim, he stumbled. Tall Salim laughed a sharp, ratcheted sound. "Always so goram clumsy." Short Salim shoved Abdullah between the shoulders. Xiang wanted to say something. She looked at the hunch of Abdullah's shoulders as he went out the back door, and it was too late for words. Said to no one she cared about, "I've got to be going." As she went, she slipped the bright yellow cocoon from her pocket onto Abdullah's work table. She hoped he'd see it and smile. She went to the food stalls on the Lido deck. She lingered by Buang Petit's, which had a painted picture of a magic crab over an old pizza sign. Last time she'd been on board, she and Abdullah had laughed over it. Must be magic, 'cause there weren't no crabs in the whole fleet. Good stew, though. She waited over her bowl, but Abdullah didn't show. Feet were really dragging then. All the APEC ride back to the aerial. Later, when she unpacked, she found a little wind-up monkey in her sack. She put it on her bunk with the monkey that she'd bought off of Abdullah 2 years ago. She looked at them and smiled, and when she looked at the ceiling over her bunk, she was seeing something else entirely. That carried her through a couple cycles, mostly wondering what he wanted to ask her, although she hoped in her belly that she knew. One late cycle, they were all in the galley. Jun Li sat swishing her feet back and forth. She talked about all the things she'd do with the all-fleet job fair that was coming up at the end of the 7th cycle. The word fair stuck like a scrap of food on the edge of Xiang's mind. Of course, Jun Li wasn't talking about getting a new job, because she and her ma was rich by one whole ship. She wrinkled her nose at Xiang, who pushed her protein mush from one side of the bowl to the other. Jun Li was going to meet up with ship captains and technocrats and even Alliance ship officers. For some reason, Jun Li and Jin always called them by the name of the verse that was, as if they weren't in the verse right now. She got into the part about dancing for the third time when Xiang said, "I'd like to go too." She'd never so much as gone to any of the fairs. This was her home. "You?" Jin wrinkled her nose like she was smelling something particularly foul, which must be where Jun Li got the expression from. "Why would you want to go to the fair? Not like you've got a skill that's good for much other than what you've got right now." "Sides," said Jun Li, getting up and taking a little sniff, "not like they'd want to get a whiff of you anyway." Jiang felt something in herself go all stiff and hard. "I'm going to the fair." Rudolph's eyes got wide as dinner plates, and she was crushing a grin somewhere. "No, you ain't." Jin slammed her bowl harder than necessary in the washer unit. "You and Rhodopsis need to stay here and watch the ship." Xiang sat with her feet square on the ground and her shoulders hunched a little, like there was an acid leak. In the sleep cycle, she packed a duffel with her clothes, unpacked it because she had a place here. This was her home. Morning of the fair, Jin pulled Xiang's back suit out of the rack and put it in the hold cubby. She put the Skeeto next to it on the floor, locked it with her pulse key, and there it was. Closed door in a large metal room. Jin didn't say nothing, just looked at Xiang as if asking her to say something, but Xiang didn't. Really wasn't much to say. This was her home. Ariel had been her pa's ship. Gran and Ma and Pa had all gone to the worms here. Everything in her life was here. She was needed. This was the work that had to be done. Xiang watched Jin and Jun Li board the early cycle APEC with her show-nothing-on face. She did her frowns. She checked the acidity levels for each of the bins. She added bedding. She made other adjusts. She found herself sitting on the stairs staring at the locked cubby. Rhodopsis sat down next to her. She put the dirt panniers on the floor with a dull thud. Everything felt dull. It was a really dull thing. Rhodopsis gave an overly prolonged look at her chrono. "Guess Jin and Jun Li must be almost at the Magellan by now." Jiang couldn't muster the energy to glare at Rhodopsis. Rhodopsis pulled a tool with a wide flat head from her tool belt. "Oh no," she said in a flat voice. She went to a long panel on the floor. "How horrible." She popped open the panel. "There's been a power loss on all of the cubby doors." She did something with wires. There was a loud pop and a hiss. Rhodopsis shrugged. Guess we should open it manually. To make sure the stuff inside is still there. Hope floated sharp in Dion's chest. Together they turned the large wheel on the door. When they got it about halfway opened, it turned out that her vac suit and Skeeto was still there. Dion touched them gently. Rhodopsis picked up the panniers. I did a little something to these. She tapped them. Now they'll keep. She waved a hand, something breathing, happy and warm, for, you know, an hour or so trip through the black. Dion took the panniers. She slid her hands along the outside of them. They felt cool and smooth under her fingertips. No different than always. Good piece heavier, though. She looked around the hold for a long time. She looked at the bins and ladders, the arcing metal of the crapper hold's high ceiling. She went to the first bin. It was smaller than the others, just large enough for a person to carry to a ship, leaving a world behind. She transferred the contents to one of the panniers. She went to her room. She found her duffel already packed, trowel on top. She lingered in the room door and then went back inside, grabbed her jumping monkeys and shoved them in on top of the trowel. Rhodopsis helped her put on the suit and adjust the Skeeto straps. As Yan went into the airlock, Rhodopsis said, "Now please, take this the right way. And don't come back." Yan said, "Thank you." Rhodopsis rolled her eyes. "Look on Jin's face will be thanks enough." And she hit the button. The air vacuumed out of the airlock. Door opened onto the black, and Xian suddenly thought that she shouldn't leave. That she shouldn't leave her pa's ship, her home, her life. Sudden, clear as shining, she remembered the first time she went into the black. Gran's hand in hers. "Don't worry, Maymay. I got you." While Ma spouted statistics and Pa muttered encouragement over the comm, Xian stepped out into the black. Trip across was quiet, except for her thoughts, doubts, worries, right thing, wrong thing. She reached the Magellan, and the voice in the comm was more surprised than a 30 cycle of New Year's to have someone ask to come aboard using a Skeeto. But they let her in. Gave her a wrist ident card and a locker assignment. She was off to the job fair. She went to the deck where ships with space were looking for someone to take a berth and share the load. 2 steps into the hall, she saw Abdullah clutching. 2 steps into the hall, she saw Abdullah clutching a battered red toolbox. His grin spread across his face. "Hey." She kind of thought hers had taken over her face. It felt like it stretched her so wide. "Hey." They said at the same time, "I hoped you'd be here." Laughed nervous-like, happy-like, grinned. Which turned into a long kiss of smiling. When they broke, they took up hands and went to look for a place they could call their own. Epilogue. Every rutten time Rhodopsis went to Xian's old bunk, she got a big old rutten grin on her face. Even better was watching Jin spin on the stick up her ass, trying to figure out a way to cover all the stuff that she hadn't realized that Xian was doing. Even better was watching Jin spin on the stick up her ass, trying to figure a way to cover up for all the stuff that she hadn't realized that Xian was doing. She tried to make Rhodopsis go out into the black with a second-hand Skeeto that she'd bartered off some fool in the Lucky Lucy. But Rhodopsis had a copy of her contract, and it clearly stated that Rhodopsis was an engineer, not a farmer or a doctor or a sanitation engineer. Much as Jin wanted to argue that last one. Jun Li couldn't even work the Skeeto. Jin and Jun Li killed every worm in Bin 9. Rhodopsis saluted it as she went by. She was ass deep under the stabilizers when the comm waved an incoming. "Ariel, this is the shuttle Trinidad out of the Magellan, asking for permission to dock." By asking, the voice in the comm clearly meant that they were docking, permission or no. Rhodopsis climbed out. Visit from the Trinidad could only mean a spot inspection. She hummed as she climbed out. Couldn't happen to a nicer captain. Jin rushed past her to the crapper hold. Her eyes raked Rhodopsis up and down. Rhodopsis, I can't be having Alliance representatives seeing my crew in this state. Make yourself invisible. Rhodopsis rolled her eyes, because what Jin meant was she don't talk to the inspectors, as if that ever worked. Still, no way that she was missing this. She climbed on top of Bin 10, just as the airlock hissed open. And damn, but 20 purple bellies streamed out while Jin was in mid-fuss over Jun Li's clothes. Followed by Captain of the Gorham Magellan. Looked shorter than in the waves. Still, from Rhodopsis' viewpoint, his hair might be salt and pepper, but he had all of it. Jin bowed, almost touching her forehead on the floor. You're most welcome to my little ship, Captain Amasis. Jin was putting enough sugar on her voice to make Rhodopsis' teeth ache. Whatever tiny little service we can provide for you would be our pleasure. Captain Amasis snapped his fingers in a real commander-like way, and one of the purple bellies held up a shiny pillow with two tiny shoes out of some kind of clear polymer on it. He said in that voice that Rhodopsis had always liked from the waves, like the rumble of a deep engine, I'm looking for the person who can wear these shoes. Jin bowed again while simultaneously waving at Jun Li. Of course, of course. She turned in mid-bow to hiss at Jun Li. Take off your shoes. But even with Jun Li down to her bare feet, no amount of showing would get her feet in those things. Jin tried next, but that was never going to work. One of the purple bellies said, Madam, perhaps there is someone else on your ship who could try. Stick up Jin's ass got straighter, and she said, No, I'm sorry. There's no one else. Amasis turned to the purple bellies. You'll have to start again. I want to find the source of that recording. The words were like a cold spark up and down Rhodopsis' spine. She jumped off the bin and practically yelled, Give me a try! She shucked off her boards and grinned. Because those shoes fit like they were made for her, because they had been. Amasis sighed in a long exhale, which was when Rhodopsis decided to throw in for all she was worth. She leaned up to whisper in Amasis' ear, If you pay off my indenture papers, I might even consider walking in these shoes. A little lower then, a breath in his ear, These shoes were made for walking up your spine. Ain't that right? Amasis' answer was a quick, Lieutenant Ashputtel, pay off this woman's indenture. Which was how Rhodopsis ended up on the rotten Magellan. Now, it took her a while to find something useful to do on that big-ass ship of his, because Amasis was under the impression that her job would be shoe-wearing. But the time for people who did nothing but sit with their feet up was long gone. And back in the verse that was, this was now. So she broke him of that real quick. Took all of 2 steps, a grind with the tip of her big toe, and a spin of a lug wrench. Took a few steps adjusting the attitude of those high-nosed officers of his. But that's why she bought boots and a new tool belt for New Year's. The end. Now, for those who are curious which Cinderellas you had in this story, Rhodopsis is the oldest known variation of the Cinderella story as recorded by Strabe in the 1st century BCE, or perhaps Cinderella is the best known variation of the Rhodopsis story. Yi Xian, or Ye Shen, is a Chinese variation of the Rhodopsis story written down in the 9th century ACE by Duan Yanqi, in a miscellaneous morsels from Yao Xiang. Which, by the way, I'm probably mispronouncing horribly. Sorry. Abdullah bin Fazil is a male version of the Rhodopsis story recounted in the tale 169 in 1001 Nights. Buang Pita Buang Mara is a Malay version of the Rhodopsis story with similarities to the Zi Xian story, except her mother becomes a giant magic crab, appearing here, running a magic crab shack on the Tohan cruise liner. Ashenputtel is the German version of the Rhodopsis story, as recorded by the Brothers Grimm in the 19th century. And as to the Firefly AU, if you're familiar with Firefly and would like some more backstory on what's going on here, here you go. This AU spins off, obviously with no characters from the original series, at the time of the Miranda colony. It supposes that the Pax drug took longer to have its unfortunate effects. The Alliance, having tested the behavior control drug on the planet Miranda, thus the name of the ship in this story is Ariel, rushed to implement on all of the planets of the core worlds and some of the Alliance ships, i.e. some new ships and those due for refit. When the inhabitants on Miranda either died or turned into crazy cannibals, it was covered up. Cue mass death, insanity on the core worlds, with the war going on at the same time. There's even more confusion when the Alliance ships stop trying to kill the Browncoats and start trying to kill everybody. With so many more Reavers, staying becomes unviable, and there's a certain amount of getting out of Dodge to head out for the next viable system, with the only Alliance cruiser going with them being the Magellan. Think Battlestar if they'd kept going for generations. With a few generations to go, and the Cylons were drug-maddened cannibals who didn't follow them because eating the people who stayed behind was shinier. In an unlikely twist, every Firefly character did make it out. The Tams on the Tohan cruise ship for a 3-month/80-year cruise. Inara the same. Book on the Magellan. Zoe and Mal on a Browncoat dropship. Wash on his first job as a pilot, and Jane with his ma and umpteen siblings on a ship his ma confiscated. While Kaylee, no idea, she's Rhodopsis' grandmother. The society that developed was a technocracy, with currency being the useful things that you have, or useful things that you can do. Access to knowledge controls what you can do. So Rhodopsis, on one hand, is at the bottom of the class system as an indentured servant. Also highly upwardly mobile, as she indentured herself to pay for the equivalent of an engineering degree. Thus, how Jin attempts to keep Xian controlled through access to education, not realizing just what skills she does have. And really, I think that's more than enough notes. I hope you enjoy, and have a good day.